blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 234, stanzas 1, 3, and 4. O Lord my God, my joyful heart will give thee praise forevermore. For rich in grace to me thou art, my soul from death thou didst restore. 1, 3, and 4 of 234. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the Acts of the Apostles, the 9th chapter, the first 31 verses. Acts 9, verses 1 through 31. But first we will read the Holy Law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. And thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless and that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, and nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet in thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Acts 9. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee in what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, neither did eat nor drink. There was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard by many of this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house and, putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales. And he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. When he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But their laying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. Which, when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea, and sent him forth to Tarsus. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord, and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, and were multiplied. And so far, the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer this morning Mrs. Jenny Van Heerden, who had surgery in this past week. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal Lord, Thou before whom we are, each one of us, every day, in the existence of our life, as we go day by day over this world, nothing hidden from Thy piercing eye, and we come in this morning to a special place, that place where Thou dost promise to be among Thy church in a special manner. For Thou sayest, where two or three are gathered in My name, there am I in the midst of them. Lord, that it may be felt also in this morning hour, that indeed there are some who may truly be gathered in Thy name. We have form, we have custom, we have our religion, and we have all the world lying in our heart. But that there may also be those who may be gathered in this morning in Thy name, that they may have a need within, and that Thou Thyself would show Thyself to be in the midst of us. And then for the true conversion of sinners, as we have read out of Thy holy word, for there is nothing that is too wonderful, that is too difficult for Thee, when on our side it is an impossibility, and then from Thy side that is so simple. And we beseech it of Thee in this morning hour, when we are together in Thy sight, and that it could please Thee, and that Thy holy will may be that this one or that one may so be stopped in this morning hour. We do not deserve it, because our sin testifies against us. But wilt Thou take reasons out of Thyself to look upon us with our children in Thy mercy, and that Thou may cause that life from the dead to spring forth, even as it does in these weeks in the nature that lies all about us, and that Thou bringest forth that life, and we may acknowledge Thee for all that Thou givest, the rain and the sunshine and the prosperity, for all the growth that may be in nature that we may eat with our children. But Lord, we beseech Thee that Thou may send also such a season amongst us in Thy house. Oh, that we may also know that rain and that sunshine, that Thy Spirit may work with power and with might, and that that life from the dead may spring forth, that there may be an abundance of it. O Thou sayest, open Thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. O that it may not be but one or two, but that it may be many in our midst, that thou may work a revival amongst us, that thou may work a weeping, that thou may work a true repentance, and that thou may turn us from all our vanity in this world, and grant us to turn again unto the Lord. Oh, seek us out, be the Alpha, be the first, be the beginning, and that we and may receive that which we will never seek after by nature. Oh, use thy children also, oh, that thou may give them to do as thou dost command them, to speak unto their children of the mighty acts of the Lord, and not only what he has done, in as we may read it in thy holy word, but also what he has done in their own life, that our children also may hear it, that thou may give freedom also for this in the midst of our families, our congregation, and that our children also might learn to put their hope in God. Oh, that thou may seek them out in the days of their youth, and that thou may instruct them in all thy truth, and that thou may lead them to those living fountains of waters, of which if a man drink, he shall never thirst. Lord, thou art our only expectation, for with thee there is power, with us there is no power. And with thee there is life, with us there is death. And with thee there is hope, with us it is but a despair. Oh, that thou may then look on us in thy mercy and give us indeed to beg of thee also in our secret chambers. Remember each and every one of thy children. Lead them into all thy truth and seek them out while they are going astray so often to wander away from him who has called them out of that land of Egypt and who has given unto them his law. But they have been brought also into that wilderness and so there to dwell. And the rebellion of the heart and the wanderings of the desire, oh, they are so many. Oh, that thou may remember, that thou may correct, that thou may encourage, that thou may lead, teach, and guide each and every one, the little lambs, to carry them in thine arm, and to lead them from strength to strength, and that all that is of self may be stripped away, and that the need for thy only begotten Son may be known, felt, and experienced for the first or by renewal. Look thou then on all the afflicted and all those that mourn, and those that have stood by that open grave. Wilt thou supply for all that family to gather and all those that mourn? Look on widows, widowers, and orphans, those who have come to old age and those who have difficulties of body and of mind. Wilt thou supply for her, and that has received surgery suddenly in the week that is gone by, all in thy own hands and in the way of thy providence, and thou hast made it so well, wilt thou humble her under all thy goodness and further heal her in the way of restoration that lies before her, and wilt thou supply for all those that suffer from serious diseases. Thou knowest those things that have been heard by this one or by that one from the doctors, oh, that thou may supply for them. And wilt thou give that the medicines may be used for their recovery, but also that the soul may receive instruction. There are also little children in our midst that have to suffer. When they are still so young, wilt thou help? And all the needs, wants, and cares of children and parents who care for them. Lord, be with all thy servants this day. Help them to bring thy word and give thy blessing upon it over the length and the breadth of the world. Be thou in our midst. Wilt thou help us to bring thy word? Take away what hinders in mind and body and soul, and wilt thou grant thy help and thy blessing upon thy word in this morning hour, that it may be a word that is brought by thy Spirit in the heart, and that eternity and may it tell of the wonders of the Lord in the time. And we ask it in the forgiveness of all that is sinful, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 163, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. O Lord, my God, most earnestly my heart would seek thy face within thy holy house once more to see thy glorious grace. And what follows in 163, 1, 2, and 3, and the last collection today is for our school. Congregation, the words of our text for this morning hour can be found in the chapter which was read to you, Acts 9, and thereof the last part of verse 11. Acts 9 and verse 11, the last part, only these words, "Behold, he prayeth." So far the words of our text. Our theme is the chief of sinners converted. First, the power which was experienced. Second, the change which took place. And third, the amazement which was produced. The chief of sinners converted. First, the power which was experienced. Second, the change which took place. And third, the amazement which was produced. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the servant, against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, yet breathing out. That means it is a continuation of this breathing out, in which we read in the previous chapter, and Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout all the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. But now that blessing of the Lord, because Luke writes about the blessing of the Lord, that is upon his word, the blessing of the Lord, which is upon the preaching of the apostles, Philip and Peter and John. And then we have Saul and that blessing of the Lord that is only as food for Saul. Food to feed that enmity, food to feed that hatred and that envy that is lying in his heart. We read, breathing out threatenings and slaughter. What is our breath? Our breath that is our life. We do not live without our breath. And so we read what is now the life of Saul. The life of Saul that is threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. One desire. That is his whole life. That is to bring to an utter destruction the entire church of God. All the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is his breath. That is his eating, that is his drinking, that is everything that Saul is doing. A very zealous volunteer in this service. And not only with the actions, but also with the mind, devising a plan, desiring of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Thus, the mind going here and there to find those devices that may help to bring that motive, that plan to fulfillment. An instrument in whose hand? An instrument in the hand of Satan himself. Because what did the Lord say to Satan? He said, "Thou shalt bruise his heel." And thus he is given also some power. that is not power over, the head that is not power to destroy, yet it is power to touch. Thus also Saul, as an instrument of the devil, he is given a power to touch that church. And yet it is not an unlimited power, because as soon as the Lord says, thus far and no further, then all of that power that comes to an abrupt end. And then man, he is powerless, breathing out threatenings and slaughter. What does the apostle say that he was before? He says that before he was a blasphemer. If this man had known better, that would have been the unpardonable sin. But we read that he did it ignorantly and in unbelief. How much congregation do we not do ignorantly and in unbelief? And the Lord Jesus, he says that a man's enemies, they will be those of his own household. Can you imagine what that would be, boys and girls, when your enemies would be those of your own household? Your own brother, your own sister, your own mother, your own father would be your enemy. That is that place that you look for support. That is that place that you look for love, for protection. And the Lord Jesus says, a man's enemies, they shall be those of his own house. How was that at the time of this Saul? Oh, it was not the Romans, it was not the Gentiles, but it was the Jews. It was Saul who was now that greatest enemy of that work of the Lord, the greatest enemy of these disciples. Man is like a lion against the sheepfold of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is not ready to lay that down. He is not ready to cease until that whole church is exterminated, breathing out threatenings and slaughter. His whole life that is against God. Is that your life too? His whole life is against God. Where is he? He is dwelling in the church. At the same time as his life is so against God, he thinks that he is doing God service. Is that our life too? He thought so with his outward religion. He thought so with his prayers. He thought so with his works. He thought so with his deeds, his devices, that he did God's service, and at the same time, he is an enemy. Was it a question of sincerity? You say he was sincere enough. Or we can be so sincere in the truth in our religion, so very sincere, and yet we can be so wrong. By nature, it is possible that we deceive our own heart. Is not that the way Saul was living day by day in deceit of his own heart? Breathing out threatenings and slaughter. We would say Who in the whole world is able to tame such an enemy? In the church, there is only fear of this man. The entire church that is being scattered abroad in a very special way because of this man. And yet the Lord says, what is now impossible with man is possible with God. We read here that the Lord says that Saul is a chosen vessel unto me. A chosen vessel. And how is he living? That chosen vessel that is under that seal of God's election, living completely as the greatest enemy of that church of God. And yet it is impossible that this state and condition of this chosen vessel shall continue forever. No, there must come a time, there must come a moment that the Lord, he says, it is enough. That is now one moment in the life of a man. Do you know such a moment? When the Lord said, it is enough. Not every one of God's children knows that very moment. Not every one of that church can speak of that very moment. Why not? Because not every one of that church is such an outward enemy as Saul was. And yet, that moment is there. And when there is not that great outward change, yet there is a very, very great inward change. No matter what our character, there will be a very, very great change. How can this not be? Is there a great difference between death and life, or is there not? Thus, the effects of that change, even when we do not know that moment as Saul, the effects of that change, what it means to live, that must become evident in the life of a person. The desires, the longings, the fruit of that change will become evident. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth. A light. A light from heaven. What is it? It is the glory of the Lord. That is not as a flash of lightning, but it was as a continual brightness that is shining down on this enemy. Thus, in one moment, he is brought to stand before the majesty of God. And every one of us, we are before that same majesty, before that same God, but it is in our ignorance. But now in this moment, the apostle, he is given to feel something of this majesty. And when he feels something of that majesty, then we read that he falls unto the earth. Thus there is a great power. There is a great power in that majesty with which the Lord is appearing unto Saul. It is the power of God. He has not spoken yet. Not one word has yet been heard. But the Apostle Paul, he is lying upon the ground. There is a man who had very, very great authority in this world. There is no one that was able to stop him. He had authority from the church itself. But the Lord may stop him. No matter what authority that we may have of church and government, the Lord in one moment, he brings Saul to a halt. That is a man who had not only authority from this world, but a man who was in the hands of Satan as his own instrument. And the power of Satan that is so very, very great. Do you ever feel it? But here we see that the power of the Lord that is greater, that is much greater than that power of Satan. Though that man is completely in the power of the devil, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Saul, Saul. The Lord knew his name. The Lord knew who he was. Do you believe that the Lord also knows your name? He knows, children, your name. He knows the name, the individual name of each and every one of us. But did you ever feel this? Did you ever feel under the preaching that the Lord knew your name? So that that preaching that became so very personal unto you, so that it was as if that the Lord spoke your name, that he has directed that word particularly unto your own heart and soul. He calls him. He calls him with a very powerful calling that Saul is not able to escape. That is the calling by which a man is born again into a new life. And in this moment, then, a man, he receives the impression of the presence of God, of the existence of God, that God sees him, that God knows him. What do we read? There is a light. There he lays. He lays in the light. Did you ever lay in the light of the Lord? In one moment, everything is open and naked before him with whom Saul has to do. In one moment, then he realizes that there is nothing hid from the Lord. Not only his outward actions, but also everything, the motives, the desires, the intentions that are living within his heart. Everything that is in one moment laying in the light of the Lord. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? What is the first thing that Saul hears from the Lord? He hears an accusation against him. An accusation against him. Did you ever hear an accusation against you? How does the word of God come unto you? Who has appeared unto the Apostle Paul? It was the Lord Jesus Christ. We read of it. He says later, it was by the revelation of Jesus Christ. But in what capacity does the Lord Jesus Christ appear unto Saul? He appears in the capacity of his judge. He brings an accusation against him of the law. He says, "Why persecutest thou me?" Thus, that first capacity in which the Lord is appearing unto his church, that is in the capacity of a judge. That is not as the Savior, no, but that is as the judge whom I have to appear before that I cannot give an account before. Who art thou, Lord? What happens when that light that is shining upon Saul, immediately we read that Saul feels his ignorance. Who art thou, Lord? Was that an ignorant man? Oh, how much learning that this man had. Here was a man who knew the scriptures. Here was a man who had much religion. Here was a man who was brought up at the feet of Gamaliel. Congregation, what happens to our religion? What happens to our knowledge? What happens to our wisdom? When the Lord comes, and when the light of the Lord shines upon us, then we lose everything. Then we do not know it anymore. No, though we are able to lay out all the way that the Lord leads his people, we do not know it anymore. And not only is there ignorance, but there is also a desire. He says, "Who art thou, Lord?" Then he admits that he does not know who the Lord is. But he also says that he has a desire to know him. Thus we see the need already for the prophetical office of the Lord Jesus in the soul of this man, even in the very beginning of that new life, when that light of the Lord is shining upon him. And then he is feeling his ignorance and desiring. He says, "Lord, teach me. Lord, show me who that thou art." And what is now that knowledge that the Lord works in that people? The Lord says that you, Saul, you are offending me. He says, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. I am the one that you are fighting against. Your whole life, Saul, that is against me. Your whole being, Saul, that is against me. All your breath, that is against me." Did the Lord ever give you this light? It is not only one sin. It is not only a second and a third sin. No, it is also all that lays within. It is the fountain. It is the breath of our life that is against God. "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest." And the Lord Jesus, he identifies himself with his church. He says, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest." Who was Saul persecuting, boys and girls? He was persecuting God's children. And what does the Lord Jesus say? He says, "Saul, when you persecute my children, when you persecute my people, you persecute me. I am Jesus
whom thou persecutest, they are the apple of mine eye. And who will give them a cup of cold water in my name, they shall not lose their reward. But when you offend one of these little ones, it were better that a millstone were hanged about your neck and that you were cast into the sea.
In Acts, Paul, he writes how that the Lord said unto him that he was Jesus of Nazareth.
Thus, that he uses that name that Paul blasphemed. That the Lord himself in his glory was not ashamed to take upon himself yet this despised name in the world. I am Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth. I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. And what is the answer of Saul? Does he begin to defend himself before his judge? He does not say one word. He has no answer. Because when the Lord comes with his accusation against Saul, then there is only guilt. And when the Lord comes with his law in the heart of his people as a judge, then all our excuses and all our answers, they are falling away. Later, Paul writes that we know that whatsoever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law. He says that every mouth may be stopped and all the world become guilty before God. Was your mouth ever stopped? As the mouth of Saul was stopped. Was not able to give one answer to all the accusations of the Lord that came against him in this one statement, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Who can contend with the accusations of the Lord? Will a man not know how right and how just the Lord is to cast him completely away out of his sight? I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Or when you kick against the pricks, then you only hurt yourself. What does the Lord say to Saul? He says, Saul, you are fighting against God. And you cannot prevail. It will only be to your destruction. And so with a great power, we see that the Lord brings Saul in one moment to a standstill in his life. He cannot go one step further. Then there is a great change in his life. We heard already of several things. The first change is, will you remember that, children? The first change, from standing, he goes to lying upon the ground. That the Lord humbles a person. He takes him down off of his throne and he lays a man in the dust. That was the first change. And then we heard how that before he knew it, and now he doesn't know it anymore. Now he is ignorant. What is that change that the Lord is making in the life of a man? That the Lord, he makes him teachable. If we know it, you know that, young people. If you know it, your parents cannot tell you, your teachers cannot tell you, no one can tell you because you know it. And therefore, the Lord, he makes a people that do not know it anymore. Why? That he may teach them. That he may instruct them. What did the Lord Jesus say? Except you become even as a little child, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That is not innocence. A little child is not innocent. But a little child is different from an adult in that a little child is teachable. Thus we have seen, he comes down from his pride. He is laid low in the dust. He is made teachable by the Lord. Did the Lord ever make you teachable? We read, he trembling and astonished. He is terrified. Here is a man that many people feared. And now he fears. Is that not a great change? From being bold and fearless, here we have now a man who is afraid and he trembles. He is meek. He is laid low. He is mild. From a lion, he has become a lamb. From hurtful, he has become harmless. And he trembling and astonished. He says, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Lord, can you not hear, boys and girls, the respect? Do you have respect for your mother, for your father, young people? But do you have respect for God? Do you have respect for his house? What happens when the Lord converts a man, even a man as a Saul of Tarsus? And when he is laid low and when he is made teachable, then the Lord gives him such a high respect. He says, Lord, oh, how reverent. That same name, he has blasphemed. That name of the Lord Jesus, and now he calls the Lord Jesus Lord. He was before a rebel, and now he is made submissive. He is made obedient. What do we read in the Word of God? That it is a willing people in the day of his power. Thus, the will of Saul that is completely renewed by the Lord in one moment. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. Oh, he left Jerusalem. He left Jerusalem expecting to lead many by the hand. He would lead them bound unto Jerusalem. And now he is led by the hand into Damascus. Why? Because he is blind. That is also a great change. He cannot see anything. He is sitting now in the darkness. That is now not only for his body, but how great that darkness that becomes in the soul of a man. Darkness. Darkness as the result of what? Darkness as the result of the light. The light of the Lord shining upon the soul of a man that is bringing him into darkness. And he was 3 days without sight and neither did eat nor drink. He is fasting. Who can know what is all taking place in the soul of Saul in these 3 days? A great change. The arrow of the Lord that has penetrated his heart. Saul has been a righteous man. Saul is now a guilty man. Were you ever made into a guilty man or a guilty woman from a righteous man or a righteous woman? He is now a rebel. He is now a murderer of the people of the Lord. Did you ever become such a rebel? What a terror, what an anxiety that now lives in the heart of this man. Because then a man comes under the curses that are written in that law of the Lord. He knew that law. Thus we have a man who has sinned. Thus we have a man who is sin and is therefore a condemned man, and who has not one answer to all the accusations from the side of the Lord. What a sorrow, what a grief, what a self-reproaching that is living in the heart of this man. He sees how wrong that his former life has been. Oh, if he could only do that former life over again, but that is so impossible. His eyes cannot see, but it is a man who now weeps. What happened to all his Pharisaical righteousness? Oh, it has become to him as filthy rags. What does he say later? The commandment came, sin revived, and I died. Do you know what that is? And then we read of that great change. That is the words of our text. What is it? Behold, he prayeth. We say a great change. You say, great change. Saul, a Pharisee? How is that a change? He has done this so many times. No. He has never done this before. The Lord says, behold, behold, look, here is a man that is now praying. Yes, he stood on the street corners before. And his prayers, they were so long-winded as he stood before men. Then he had his reward. But now look, behold, he is praying. Did you ever pray? Did you ever pray as the Lord says that now Saul begins to pray? Behold, he prayeth. This is new. Is new. In the midst of his life, in the midst of his religion, something new. Behold, he prayeth. This is the Lord's work. Saul of Tarsus, bending his knees. It is a wonder that he could pray. It is a wonder he did not despair of his life, because he has seen what he has done. He has seen what he has deserved. Now, he could not eat. He could not drink. He does not deserve it. But he says, oh, Lord, is it still possible for me? Is there still a way that I also may escape this punishment and be again received into favor? I have sinned against thy grace and provoked thee to thy face. I confess thy judgment just speechless, speechless, not one word. I thy mercy trust. Behold, he prayeth. A great change from the prayer of a Pharisee. I thank thee, Lord, I am not as other men are. To the prayer of the publican, O God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Let us sing. 364, 1 through 4. From out the depths I cry to thee. O, let thy ear attentive be. Hear thou my supplicating plea. Have mercy, Lord. 1 through 4 of 364. Our last thought, the amazement upon the conversion of the chief of sinners. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus,
For behold, he prayeth. And he hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he may receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem, and here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. In those 3 days, the Apostle Paul was not without encouragement, because the Lord gives to him to see a vision. Thus, the Lord gives to him, even before the opening of his eyes, the Lord gives to him encouragement. That is, he spares the apostle from despair. And so the Lord, he is not permitting that people, even in those days, were in sin that is more and more open, because how is it for us? We are whited sepulchres, congregation. We are whited sepulchres. It all is so nice on the outside, but on the inside, it is all dead men's bones. That's the way it is for you and for me. And what happens when the Lord gives his light? Oh, there is no change in that sepulcher, no. But that whited part, oh, that sepulcher goes open, so the man, he begins to see all the wretchedness and all the stink and all the filth and all the pollution that is living in his heart. And then it is a wonder if a man does not despair. Before that, the Lord is opening to a man that righteousness that is in his only begotten Son. But the Lord does not leave that people to despair. But the Lord encourages him, and he gives unto him a vision in the night. Ananias does not want to go. That is not strange. We read of Moses, he did not want to go. Jeremiah did not want to go either. And Ananias does not want to go. And why does he not want to go? He doesn't want to go because he is afraid. That is understandable. He is afraid of whom? He is afraid of Saul. But why does Ananias not want to go? What did the Lord say unto Ananias? He says, behold, he prayeth. Ananias, must you then be afraid of him? Must you be afraid of a man who is praying? And still, Ananias, he is afraid. And why is he afraid? Because he cannot quite believe it. And why can he not quite believe it? Because Saul was an evil man. Yeah, they are all evil men. Whom the Lord will convert is an evil man. Why can he not quite believe it? He cannot quite believe it because of the extent of that evil. He cannot quite believe it because of how evil a man that this Saul is. And that is now what Ananias lays before the Lord. He says, Lord, is it now possible for such a man? For such a man to be converted? For such a man to pray? And that is not only for Ananias, because later we read that he is preaching in the synagogues, and we read of that same amazement of the people. Later on, he goes up to Jerusalem, and again, that there is amazement. They don't want to receive him. Why is that church so amazed? Because of the greatness, the height, the depth, the penetration of that sin. Saul is so committed to that way, that zeal that is so very, very fervent, the rebellion in the heart of that man that is so very, very strong,
They could do nothing against that man. It is our thought it would be much more possible for another person in this world than for this Saul of Tarsus. Someone of a different character, someone of a different persuasion.
But congregation, dead is dead.
Dead is dead. And whether it is an outward life that is leading into all kinds of wickedness, that whited sepulcher, that is the same in you, the same in me, the same in every man in this world. It is not the outward manifestation, but it is that which is lying in our heart. Oh, what small thoughts has man of the grace of God, as if he is incapable of stopping a man such as Saul of Tarsus. Small thoughts of his power. That he could not stop a persecutor of the church of God. Where do you think that that church was in this time? Or do you not think that that church, they were gathered together? What do you think that they were asking, beseeching the Lord for? Or were they not asking the Lord for deliverance? That the Lord would deliver them from this man, and from all of that persecution? And then how surprisingly that the Lord answers the prayer of that church. That it goes in a way that they had never expected it to go. No, they had probably never thought to ask the Lord to convert that man. Oh, the Lord is such a surprising God. And the way that he will deliver his church, that is a way so far above all our expectation that is lying in his own counsel. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. More changes. Before he blasphemed the name of the Lord Jesus, now he is going to bear that name. He's going to bear that same name unto the Gentiles. Before he caused other persons to suffer for that name, and now he is going to suffer for that name. Change of masters. Change of camps. Change of friends. Who was before a friend is now an enemy. Who was before an enemy, he is now a friend. You see that, young people? A change, how great a change. It is not just a notion. It is not a figment of the imagination through conversion. No, it is more than notion. It is power. And that power that causes a great change in the life of a person. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house and putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest hath sent me, and that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. 3 days in darkness, and then he is delivered. That is not so often in the church of God, but it was a special case. It was a special office, a special purpose that this man was called to. And then we read scales. Oh, do you ever feel, people of the Lord, those scales? Those scales upon your eyes that do prevent you from seeing. From seeing what? Oh, from seeing what God's people can see. You hear of that, what they may see, what they may behold. You say, I see nothing of it. I know it. I hear it. In my mind, my intellect, I cannot see it. Scales. Who brought those scales from his eyes? The Lord, in one moment. And that signifies the entrance of light in the midst of his darkness, a great wonder. It signifies the entrance of light into the mysteries of free and sovereign grace for the chiefest of sinners. That the Lord sets not only his law before that church, but he is using that law as a schoolmaster unto the Lord Jesus Christ. That he makes it light for him. That he makes room in that mediator. That he makes room in that surety for that sinful people. That he gives understanding in their soul of the freeness of his mercy, of the freeness of his grace. That he shows them that way of the cleansing of all of their sin. That he gives them to experience something of the power of that blood of his only begotten Son. That they may experience that his grace that is wide as the ocean scales. Scales from off at the eyes in the revelation of the only begotten Son of God to those who lay in the darkness of their own sin. All brought in a special way by the direct teaching of that Holy Spirit unto the Apostle Paul. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. A great change. Instead of hailing them into the natural prison, he is now preaching deliverance from that spiritual prison of death. Congregation, we have to close. Oh, do you ever have an impression of the power of God? The power that is necessary to bring a man to a standstill? Did you ever try to convert yourself? Young people, you say, I must be converted. That is right. There are means for that. Did you ever try to convert yourself? Did you ever feel something of the impossibility? How impossible that it is to change your own heart. How impossible it is to break that hard heart, to make that hard heart to weep. How impossible it is to make that cold heart to melt, to make that dead heart to live. How impossible it is, oh yes, you can turn outwardly from your wicked ways. I hope that you do. But how impossible it is to get that heart of mine that it is not going out after all those wicked ways, the vanity in all of this life. Oh, do you ever feel the impossibility to make your eyes to weep a single tear? That is to weep a single tear in truth? Maybe you say that also then of yourself. It is, oh, what a miracle that that would be. If this would, this hard heart, whether you are 20, 50, 90 years old, if that hard heart would now break. Oh, in one moment, the Lord, he can turn a lion into a lamb. Is there not power with him? Where did it come from? Could it come from the church? Could it come from the ministers? Could it come from the apostles? Could it come from the elders? Could not come from anyone. Cannot come from us. It may be means used by the Lord. But the power is there on the side of the Lord. Is there not reason to bend your knees and to go into your inner chamber and to say, Lord, Saul, we heard of it. Boys and girls, will you not do that? Oh, go on your knees. Lord, I need it too. I need it too. The same as Saul, because my heart that is as the heart of Saul, a wicked heart, even my religious heart, is a wicked heart. Oh Lord, stop me. stop me, as thou hast stopped a Saul of Tarsus, and may it yet be said of me, behold, he prayeth. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we cannot pray, we know not how to pray. But when thou givest a need, we will pray. Then we shall moan and groan and sigh to heaven. O give, that we may know what prayer is, and that it also may be said of each one of us, behold, he prayeth. Bring us safely to our homes. Bring thy word as an arrow in our hearts, forgiving all our iniquities. For Jesus' sake, amen. 403, 1 and 2. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing unto our God. 'Tis right and pleasant for his saints to tell his praise abroad. 1 and 2 of 403. Thank you.
We have forgotten to make the second wedding announcement of Adrian Fader and Cheryl Malone on June 18, 2010 at 2 p.m. Lawful objections must be brought to the consistory by June the 8th. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.